It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Tom moves up the middle, throws across the middle, touchdown Edelman!
Julian Edelman plays on one station in Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. The games are only half of it.
Mads, you loser!
Toucher and Rich.
When you're that short, it's more than okay to be a dick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak's the worst.
LeBron is not making this up out of the air. They make it seem like LeBron is Robert Ory, and Robert Ory was a very good player. Mm-hmm. But they make it seem like Bron is a bum, and he's just arbitrarily just throwing this out there.
Who's they?
Skip Bayless, Danny Ainge, and anybody that disagrees with what LeBron has to say. Did Danny Ainge just compare LeBron James to Donald Trump?
Yes, he did.
And it's like, hold on. But Skip, before candidate Trump became president Trump, people rapped about Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. People said, I'm the Donald Trump of the ghetto.
Yep.
But then come to find out that he was a bigger fraud than we thought. LeBron James ain't no fraud.
Okay.
The dude, you look at the numbers. They speak for themselves. You look at what he's done, they speak for himself.
Yes. Always on the search for something to talk about. We are Toucher and Rich, and one of the most innocuous statements of all time became a story that actually people talked about. Danny Ainge, the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Ainge.
Good morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
We're doing well. I'm a little weirded out how the media works now, but nonetheless, were you surprised to know that you would become a news story?
No, not really ever surprised with how things are taken, but it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. It was one of the dumbest.
It's entertainment.
Yeah, but it's not entertaining. It's frightening. I mean, that something as innocuous as that can blow up to something that people debate is weird and frightening. It's like an Orwellian society we're in now. Not good. Not good. But I'm glad that you have a sense of humor about it.
Yeah, I won't worry about it.
When did you know that that had become a story? Did somebody, like, tell you?
No, actually, I first saw it when on Twitter, when, like, it came out of, like, I don't know, NBC Sports or Toucher and Rich. I can't remember. I don't follow that many people on Twitter or that many things. But and I saw this, like, you know, LeBron James headline just on Twitter, and I went, oh, my gosh. And I just had a little chuckle, but I didn't know it would blow up that big.
Yeah, that was weird. That was a very weird day because people were trying to make something out of nothing. And at least you could say most of the major publications just put the quote out there and didn't, like, make some sort of skewed opinion on it. So at least you have a little bit of that going for you. Some integrity, apparently, in the news and how they covered it. So that's good. So do me a favor. Say something really controversial right now so we can get a cycle again and the clicks.
Yeah, I'll just chill today.
Yeah.
I'll just take a week off.
Yeah, here's your controversy. Just say Donald Trump.
That's right. And then anything afterwards. Well, congratulations, because last night was, in my opinion, the best win of the year. Not only did the team score more points than they have in, like, 8 years or something like that in regulation. But, you know, they absolutely dismantled a very good team in the Indiana Pacers. And this is something that has kind of been going on for several games now. Not only have they won four in a row, but it seems like for about the past eight or nine games, they've been going in the right direction. Yeah,
15 out of 20.
What are you seeing out of these guys that wasn't there at the beginning of the season?
I feel like everybody's playing well. At the beginning of the season, we were just trying to feel each other out. I thought we were playing tight early in the year. Maybe with just really high expectations. But as much as anything, I thought there was just everybody trying to find out what their role was and how they were going to fit in to this talented team. And I feel like last night, you saw when the young guys in particular, Rozier and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum all, play that well, we're in very good shape. And, Morris, Horford, and Kyrie have been more consistent. And now, we're seeing over the last few weeks, Gordon. I mean, even Gordon, who didn't put up ridiculous numbers last night, still was very efficient, 14 points, 5 assists in 20 minutes. I mean, we're getting good performances out of all of our talented players, and it's been fun to watch.
Talk a little bit more about Jaylen Brown. It seems that he has finally gotten accustomed to the role of coming off the bench, and he is flourishing. I know when originally he was sent to the bench, he had a couple of good games, but then kind of faded a little bit. But it seems like he now is in true lockstep with what you guys are trying to accomplish here.
Yeah, I mean, Jaylen is a great kid. And, I think that he did struggle with, coming off the bench and just sort of figuring out where his place was, and as all the guys did in finding new roles. But he's very coachable, very team oriented. At the same time, very aggressive player. We need him. He's one of our best guys at getting to the free throw line, which is probably our only weakness on the offensive end, is we don't get to the line enough. But Jaylen, I'm happy for him. He's a great kid. Like I said, he watches a lot of film and he studies and he wants to be a great player. And it's hard coming off the bench. Being consistent off the bench is much harder than being consistent as a starter, just because as a starter you get, four or five cracks at it during the course of a game, where bench players sometimes only get two opportunities to play.
Well, two of the players of this season who have been consistently very good are Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart. And we're now learning and hearing stories about how the two of them seem to have, formed this strange bond. As a matter of fact, every time Kyrie talks about Marcus Smart, I don't think there's anyone on this team that Kyrie praises more than Marcus and his hustle. He even says that he's constantly learning things from Marcus. And coming from a veteran like Kyrie and a guy who's won a ring, that's probably the ultimate compliment. What do you know about this relationship? Because it seems like both of them are benefiting from each other's game and integrating it into their own.
Well, I think the thing that, they've always liked each other, and they liked each other last year, and they got along and they complement each other. I mean, Marcus can guard the best players in the league, and that's been his reputation. And we felt this summer like getting him back was a priority, because we have a lot of guys that can score the basketball, but Marcus provides a lot more than that. He's, he's a smart offensive player. He can pass, he can dribble, he can play multiple positions on both ends of the court. But I think that what I enjoy the most of their relationship is this competition as to who takes the most charges. I mean, you got Bane, Smart, and Kyrie fighting for the lead. I think Kyrie has had taken more charges this year than he has in the previous 2 years combined already. Wow. And, and he jokes about, watching Marcus Smart highlight reels, which is just funny. I don't think he really does, but I think he appreciates, the things that Marcus does, as everybody does. I've always said, if we had a pickup game tomorrow and you had Al Horford and Kyrie picking the two teams, the first guy they'd both pick would probably be Marcus, just because they don't want to play against him.
Yeah, and the two... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, the two things that last year people were criticizing Marcus Smart for the most, and fairly, were that he flops a lot and that he is not a very good three-point shooter. And this year, I can't think of really any egregious Marcus Smart flops. It almost seems like he's playing tougher. And on top of that, you know, the three-point shot is now a good, like, percentage-wise. I think he's, like, a little above the average.
Yeah, how do you explain that?
Well, yeah, so what has happened? Like, have there been, like, actual steps taken to correct that?
Is that part of the contract negotiations? You must shoot 100 threes a day?
No, seriously. Like, what? Have there been steps that were taken to change that? Because Marcus has become more of a complete player over the last couple months.
Well, you know, we've always felt that Marcus was going to be a much better shooter than he has shot over the first 4 years of his career. You know, last year he spent, I mean, the last couple of summers, he spent a lot of time working on his three-point shooting and tweaked his mechanics a little bit and so forth. And then last year he spent, I don't know, two-thirds of the season with an injured right hand, including playing the entire playoffs and late season with a splint on his thumb, on his shooting hand. And, you know, he had those stitches in his right hand when he hit that picture in Los Angeles. And so, you know, like, he spent a lot of the year with a bad hand. But I'm not making excuses. I think that he has been taking steps, and I'm not surprised he's shooting it a little bit better. He's had these kind of months in the past, and, you know, we're just hoping for consistency with him. But more than anything, it's shot selection. When Marcus plays with all these really good offensive players, he just doesn't feel like he has to shoot the ball as much and try to take tough shots. He's always been a fearless player and is willing to take, you know, last second shots, fadeaways with defense on him that, you know, you don't get a quality shot in the possession, and he's never been afraid of those. So those hurt his percentage. But, you know, Marcus is having a terrific year for us at both ends of the court.
Danny, last night's win pulled you to within one game of the loss column of Indiana in the standings for third place. Is it too early to look at standings? I mean, you guys are now playing the way you want to play. Do you look at standings at all, or is it more on you looking at what's in front of you here and how the team is playing?
Yeah, I don't really pay that much attention to it all. I mean, we're not even quite to the halfway point, and there's a lot of basketball to be played, and we're just way more focused on what we can do to get better as a team and not paying attention to the standings. We'll probably start paying attention to the standings in middle of March with, you know, 15 games to go.
You brought back R.J. Hunter, huh?
Yeah. R.J. had a fantastic finish to the season last year, and he's having another really good year this year. R.J.'s done a lot of growing up, and saw him in the G League showcase out in Vegas during the holidays. He's really improved. Had a 46-point game the other night just before we played him. We feel like RJ's becoming the player that we thought that he could become.
Well, that's awesome because we had an intern here who spent $100 on an R.J. Hunter jersey, which I thought might have been the worst purchase you could possibly make, and now he can wear it with pride that he's back on the Celtics. So we at least have one happy person here at Danny Ainge.
That's great. Yeah, no, we're excited about R.J. He's excited to come back. It'll be fun.
Danny, did you hear Pasta Joe on our show?
I did not hear your show today, no.
Yeah, you missed out. Pasta Joe.
All the days for you to not listen.
All the days to not listen. Mm-hmm. Miss Pasta Joe.
You got any
I heard that somebody told me that Pasta Joe was more important than you were on the show.
That was me. I was being rushed. And I did not enjoy that. I thought that it was Pasta Joe had to be handled like a Fabergé egg. All right, well, Danny Ainge, I'm a little disappointed that you didn't say anything widely controversial today, but nonetheless, it's always a pleasure having you on, sir. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, good talking to you. Have a great week, and go Patriots. I can't wait till Sunday's game. That's going to be fun.
And finally a challenge for them in the divisional round. It should be great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right,
see you,
talk to you later.
Thanks. Oh, please, you didn't listen to Pasta Joe.
I think I might have had Ainge's seats. Come to think of it, because the one that Gorman gave me for the game yesterday, if you didn't hear the story, Mike Gorman, when we had him on yesterday, if you heard it, offered us tickets. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go. And he ended up getting me like courtside seats. And now that I think about it, isn't that where Ainge sits? Like right under the goal, and he wasn't there last night.
Interesting.
I think I had the Ames seats, man, right there.
You should have taken him home, smelled them.
I would have worn them in my jock, except they were the digital. So I can now just look at them and, you know, get excited.
Yeah.
See, he's got a New England Revolution player, teaches his kids, 9-year-olds, at soccer practice.
Oh, that was an all-time cool thing for Mike Gorman to do. Don't even try to write up what Gorman did.
I don't have a problem with getting those seats.
Like, that was impressive. Cool. And by the way, it was just like, hey, you want to go? I was like, no, sure.
I'm just saying, a lot of cool stuff tends to happen to you. That's good.
The Revolution thing was kind of douchey. This is just Rich.
I'm not saying douchey. No. I'm saying this is a couple of cool things.
What was douchey about the Revolution thing?
Did you ask?
The Revolution thing is cool.
I did, and they actually sent a player. It was unbelievable.
But regardless, I mean, how can you give him grief about just accepting cool tickets? I mean, you got to.
Gorman's wife was like bringing my son like candy and stuff. Like, I mean,
he's jealous.
All time coolest dude. Yeah, Wallach's jealous.
That's what it is.
Wallach shows because he calls the games and doesn't even get near the court.
I can't get seats like that. No. I see turn the corner. No.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's great. I mean, Gorman's a good guy. All right. I'm exhausted. I have to be honest with you. We had a comedian in studio, and then we had an hour.
You had a bankroll boy in here.
I had a finger just break right in front of us.
Oh, that
out of nowhere.
Creeped me out. Oh, I can't believe that happened.
I mean,
that was really something right there. She clapped her hands and dislocated her pinky.
I already put on the show tomorrow just the best of pasta, Joe. not even the bit, just the best of pasta, Joe.
Just the best of him.
Oh. Yeah.
And then Pharaoh killed it. Jay Pharaoh comes in and was one of the best guests we've had in a while.
Yeah.
We're kind of awesome.
And then there was pasta, Joe.
Tomorrow's Friday, right? We can just rerun this whole show. It'll be perfect.
Yep. He's giving you the stink eye.
You don't like Lance Lodipo's.
Nah, I don't think I do.
Scared the daylights out of me.
That cackle and laugh, you don't get that every day.
No, you don't.
No.
You don't get that every day.
You excited? Sounds it.
Hell yeah. All right, we have to break.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm going in, whatever it takes to win. I'm Tom Brady, good looking, and when I make that pass, you can catch my balls with your ass, I'm going downtown all the way, 5 rings, bitch, put me in the Hall of Fame, so why you whacking up tight, I put the ball through your uprights, touchdown when I touch brown, f*** around, think I'm cheating, I am bitched up now, New England, I'm the pigskin, big poster boy for white privilege, I'm blowing up, now you start to deflate, never had ish overturned by a replay. Hell no, going deep in your end zone. Now put them t- out. Who the f you bled zone? I'm going in, whatever it takes to win. Tom Brady, bitch. I'm going in, whatever it takes to win. Tom Brady at the ref game.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. The second annual Pucks for Paddles, or Pucks and Paddles, with Patrice Bergeron. Thursday, February 7th from 4 to 7 at the Royale in Boston. It is a good event.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. And even if you just go to watch the ping pong tournament, I mean, first of all, you're right up next to these guys. Even if you don't get the VIP ticket, you're right there and you get to watch them be ultra competitive. And they all stick around. As you said, Fred, that was the thing about Cuts for a Cause is sometimes after they got their hair cut, they'd be like,
and they didn't
want
to be there. And so, like, not in a negative way. I mean, they wanted to help Tufts Medical Center.
Sure.
Which is where the floating hospital for children at Tufts Medical Center, I've been there. And my big go-to with the donations and the Boston Bruins Foundation. And I'm saying that to pat myself on the back. No, I'm saying that because... once you've been there, you realize the great work they're doing. But you can get VIP tickets for $200 or general admission tickets for $50. And we're not lying. It's a good time. And the players want to be there. I'm burping.
I think the bids start on being a pair with one of the Bruins or us like next week. Sometime next week is when you can actually do that, and you could bid on, you know, partnering up with Zdeno Chara or whoever else.
Yeah, so Bertrand Wallach is doing it. Rich and I are doing it. So
okay.
And Felger and Maz can't do it, obviously, because they're on the air. But nonetheless, that is going on. It should be very exciting. By the way, on Twitch, during the segment we did Worse Than Brady, Mark Jamelli was on. He goes, I give Nora 5 out of 5 meatballs.
Good for myself.
Oh, Nick, if I was younger. Oh, Nicholas. Look at the cans on her.
I could fit 4 recliners in this thing.
You probably could. I
did tell Nora's boyfriend, by the way, I was just messing with him.
Oh, you actually talked to him?
Yeah, I said.
The guy was staring at you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Did you say that just because it was like a, hey, don't kill me type thing? Or
No, I wasn't afraid of him.
Okay. All right.
I can assure you that I wasn't afraid of him.
Okay, good.
No. That guy's not going to hurt me.
By the way, I enjoy it. You know what? Hats off to our sales department, because I like smile every time I hear that commercial with your
dad. Yeah, but I'm dead. Something in price. That's nice.
In the commercial for the for Bernie and Phil's, he goes, Nick goes, hey, Dad, can I get a turn in your recliner? He goes, oh, when I'm dead. Oh, Nick, I'm going to die in this thing, Nick.
And you're gonna, my name's Mark.
And you're going to call, and then you're going to come by 3 days later. I'm going to be decomposing.
Calhouns.
All swollen and stiff like a bond.
We got Mormon all of a sudden.
Oh, Nick, bury me in this thing. Oh, the smell, Nick.
Nick's shaking his head like, no.
Oh, Nick. Oh, when I'm dead. Oh, Nick. Oh, it's going to be dead weight, too. You're going to have to call the coroner. I died in my sleep.
Kelly's roast beef. Another one of my favorites.
Oh, jeez, man.
Nick, did your dad, does he sleep in the new one? Or is that's, I
you gotta break it in?
My guess is that he does not.
Okay. Well, I mean, because I think it takes time to get to the comfort level. Like, you have to break it in, right?
Well, if
like
he slept in the same recliner for, you know, 20 years, I have a feeling that you're not moving.
Yeah, it's like getting a new pillow. Like, when you first get it, it's you gotta make it.
No, I think this is like for fancy time. Okay. Like, he doesn't want to waste, like, he'll get out of the new recliner and get into the old recliner when it's done.
Do you hear, like, Bernie and Phil's got like a million entrants for that contest and stuff?
That's crazy.
It's all Mr. Jamelli.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Nick, I give a 5 out of 5 meatball.
Do I keep my pants on or do I take them off? Like, at home.
You keep your pants on.
It's a little bit chilly there.
Very excited.
By the way, when Jay Farrell came in earlier, I just kept going, Yeah, Jay. I say that probably once a day because my son has a friend named Jay, and I do the chilly guy, like, yeah, Jay. That was when Adolfo, after like interviewing like 10 times, said, do you know my name? And he goes, yeah, Jay. Yeah. And he goes, you don't know my name, do you? And then he goes, Raymond. Because no, it's not Raymond.
Is it Deepak Chopra?
Yeah.
Deepak Chopra has, for some reason, a podcast that I don't know how in the million years you would discover it or why you would listen to it.
Yeah, it was strange. It's called like, hey, this is why I play sports. Yeah,
like sports are
like
important.
Yeah. So he didn't advertise that Tom Brady was going to show up on it, but he did. And just randomly through it, he was asked about. And by the way, if you're going to ask him a question, this might not be the one to ask him because he's answered it like 1,000 times.
It's all he talks about. It's his business, and that's why he asked it.
Once you stop, you're done. I still like feel there's things to accomplish. And I've had an opportunity, based on all the things that have happened the last 12 years of my life, you know, to put myself in a position to achieve things that no one else has achieved. So I feel like I kind of have to do it.
I would love to play 5 more years. I'd love to play 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. It would be a challenge for me. I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't think 35, 36, 37, 38 was easy either. It's going to be hard to do. But I think I can do it.
No kidding, really? Hard rock and roll.
He keeps adding these sounds in the background. I'm not quite sure why Deepak Chopra has to do that.
Well, Huey Lewis was the other guest.
We used to play this whenever Zolak was left.
I was just thinking
show.
It until I thought the show was over for a second.
We said if Zolak doesn't show up, we're just gonna play sports.
Yeah.
Huey Lewis in the new sports album until he does.
Who the hell wants to play football until they're 45? I mean, that pain in the ass.
That would be a absolute, because I mean, you might not feel the effects now, but that's one of those things where you talk to all these players, like just several years down the line, it all comes back to you. But then again, I mean, right, it's his business.
Even if it had no effect on him throughout his life, like, just who wants to deal with that? It's just enough. I mean, it's enough.
All right. Well, when we get back, because I know we have to break, we will play. Shannon Sharpe had one of the more ridiculous comments on Tom Brady and his recent statements. On top of that, so the writer of The Sopranos finally came right out and said what that ending was about.
And we will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what did we not got into today?
All right, well, real quick, before we get to the Shannon Sharpe thing, this is pretty big news here in Massachusetts. It just broke less than an hour ago. If Massachusetts gets their way, an advisory panel just recommended the approval of marijuana delivery in cafes, which means that businesses right now currently can't allow anyone to consume marijuana on their grounds. But an advisory panel today voted to recommend that state regulators create licenses for both pot cafes and regular shops that want to provide a service or host an event that involves cannabis. They also recommended the state allow the home delivery of cannabis, which, by the way, they're already running ads for all around town.
See, I'm all for the delivery. I am not for the I don't care if they have them.
You couldn't pay me to go to a cannabis bar. I can't think
of anything more pretentious and boring.
It's more than just a cannabis bar. Well, first of all, it's another place to buy it.
Well, yeah, but if it's a bar and you can smoke weed there, I'm not going. Open up 1,000 of them.
What about serve edibles?
I'd still
like over in Amsterdam. You know, there's like, you know, they have the pot brownies and stuff.
And everyone I know who's been to Amsterdam
gets space caked and just goes nuts.
Oh, yeah, my wife did that and got completely out of her mind. She had to like walk around like the city for like 5 hours. but everyone I know that went to Amsterdam specifically to smoke weed at that point in their lives were a giant douche that I couldn't stand.
Yeah, like that's why they went. It was like a weed vacation.
Like, yeah, I mean, I got no problem with you smoking weed. I got no problem smoking it myself, even though it doesn't agree with me. But I would never, ever go to a weed cafe.
Now, one thing that is kind of neat that came out of this is they said that organizers of events such as weddings or festivals would be able to apply for a one-day license that allows them to serve marijuana to guests.
Yeah, but
imagine going to a festival and they're just being like a beer tent, marijuana tent.
Yeah, but you could, that's great.
That's
but you could
huge.
Smoke anyway. I mean, you can just bring your own weed. It's legal. You can smoke anywhere.
No, you can't. That's the thing, is you can't right now. You can't smoke it anywhere.
Really?
If I'm a cop,
I'm not wasting my time.
And they're not, but it's basically a technicality which makes it legal for Boston Calling or something like that. And if you went there, or how about your favorite band who's coming to Fenway for two nights? The 5th of July and 6th of July, Fish is taking over Fenway, baby.
I'm sure that that's been a big deterrent if you go to a Fish show.
But but now you would be able to go to those places, not have to worry about, you know, carrying it there and just being able to buy it at the premises and smoke it right there.
Good.
Which is, you know, more freedom, the better.
Did you hear they're going to legalize?
I can't get high, so why do I care?
They're going to legalize shrooms in Colorado.
They are pushing for that, and that seems a little nutty.
It grows from the ground.
I guess so.
Grows from the ground.
Yes, it does. Well, let's go ahead and get to this. So Shannon Sharpe, there was an interview with Tom Brady where he was asked, you know, how are you preparing for this upcoming game? And he said something just completely non-controversial, which, of course, because that's what Tom Brady does, by saying, you know, I've been staying up watching a lot of tape. And Shannon Sharpe turned it into this. This is the sound of Shannon Sharpe and a very vocally humming.
Yeah, Rich made the best comparison. It sounds like he's eating like the most delicious pasta in the world.
not Shannon Sharpe, but our Skip Bayless.
I just filled this cup up with poison.
Mm. Poison?
Really?
Because that's what he makes me do every time he talks.
Really?
So now all of a sudden.
Love that.
Now all of a sudden.
Keep talking, Tom.
Now this is the most important week for Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It's not important for Drew Brees.
Mm.
It's not important for Patrick Mahomes.
Mm.
So now only Tom Brady is this week important. But really, Jeannie?
You are tough on Tom.
Really?
Mm.
Oh, now he's studying film. Can you mind me asking, what was Drew Brees doing?
Mm.
I don't know.
See, Tom Brady wants us to believe that he's the only one that studies film. Mm. You think he watched more film than Peyton Manning? But Peyton Manning wasn't out there telling you, oh, I'm watching film. Mm. Or I stayed up all night studying. I stayed up all night. You can't get enough of studying.
But wait. Peyton Manning, he hung him up, right? It's over? He's doing those nationwide commercials now?
And still got more touchdowns than Tom Brady.
Oh, really?
Still got more touchdowns than Tom Brady.
Who's got the most rings?
We're not talking about the Peyton Manning. Why you bring him?
I don't even know.
Well, to that, I just say, keep eating that spaghetti over there, Skip Bayless. He goes,
Those guys make so much money, and they're on at 10 in the morning, and they debate for 2 hours.
Yeah,
that commercial, too, that Fox tries to run to drive anyone possible to discover that program. Or, you know, you have, what's his name, Skip Bayless get up at 3 in the morning and lift weights and eat his sandwich that he bought 5 days ago at his specific deli in New York City or wherever the hell he is now.
Sandwiches.
Whatever the case may be.
Carberoos.
I mean, mm-hmm. Honest to God. I mean,
his meals come out of a powder.
Yeah, right. The pretentiousness of the two of them is just enough for me to never watch that program ever.
Why would you pay someone to be on at 10 in the morning on TV?
Because bars need to play shows with no sound.
Well, if you're at a bar at 10 in the morning, I'm questioning your life choices.
You're not watching the TV.
Airports, that I should things. Say. Yeah. Airport
bar. Airport bar at 10 in the morning is completely is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. No. You got to get something to make the flight a little bit easier. All right, so at the end of The Sopranos, as you know by now, it was one of the most controversial scenes in television history. Tony Soprano goes to a cafe with his family. They order onion rings. Somebody puts on the jukebox. And then suddenly out of nowhere, it cuts off and there's darkness for about 5 seconds and the credits start rolling. And to that, there's been many a discussion as to, all right, does that mean Tony Soprano died earlier in the show? Somebody said, you never see it coming. Or is it just that he has to live his entire life paranoid, looking over his shoulder? Well, there was an interview recently that was done with Alan Sepinwall. He interviewed David Chase, the writer of the show. And he said, all right, they said, do you think that you would have ended the show any sooner if HBO said maybe you should wrap it up? He goes, no, I would have ended it a little bit even sooner than that. He said, really? He goes, yes, I think so. Once he said that, in a way, I was giving an alternative. Do you want to do this or not? So I said, yes. If he hadn't come to me and said that, I probably would have ended it some other season and said, let me go off and make movies. He said, and then the interviewer said, but you didn't try to plan too far ahead. When you said there was an end point, you don't mean it with Tony at Holston's. That's the restaurant. You just meant, I think we have 2 more years worth of stories in me. David Chase answers, yes. I think I had that death scene about 2 years before the end. I remember talking with the writer and executive producer about it, but it was slightly different. Tony was going to get called up to a meeting with Johnny Sack in Manhattan, and he was going to go back through the Lincoln Tunnel for his meeting, and it was going to go black there, and you never saw him again as he was heading back, the theory being that something bad happens to him at the meeting, but we didn't do that. To that, the reviewer says, you realize that you just referred to that as a death scene. A long pause followed, and David Chase said, F you guys.
Whoops.
So it looks like Tony died.
Okay.
He was shot in the back of the head or didn't see it coming, but that was indeed a death scene. Now, there have been a little picture that's been tweeted out of the prequel that they're making for The Sopranos. It's the life of Tony Soprano as he was a kid and how he got into the mob. So
it's
HBO,
like The Godfather 2.
Yeah, they are indeed making a prequel Sopranos movie.
Okay.
Like young Sheldon. It's young Tony.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I don't know. It could be. Listen, there were times where The Sopranos touched the sun, and there was times where it was just garbage that they had storylines that had nothing to do with anything.
No, it's great. I mean, it was a great, great show. I just don't know why more has to be done with it.
I thought that about Better Call Saul, too, and it ended up being a really good show.
Yeah, but it focuses on a tertiary character. It's not like going back in Bryan Cranston's life as a teacher.
What about Star Trek Voyager?
What about it? I will tell you this, though, is that there's no ending as good as Lost when you realize that the creators of the show had absolutely no idea what
they
were doing.
Did they interview those guys anytime recently?
They've been interviewed a million times, and they're very defensive.
Yes, Damian Lindelof is extremely defensive, and he's behind the new Watchmen TV show, which I'm excited about.
Okay,
yeah, good. Maybe they'll throw a bunch of crap out there and then never pay it off.
They might do that.
All right, we'll be back. We'll find
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.